Text this morning and take it from our gospel lesson reading here in Mark 10, verse 21. And I urge you to be open to page 6 as we're going to go through the gospel lesson. I think sermons are always more memorable when you see it taken right from the text. So our text is on in verse 21 of the second column. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell that all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." So far, the text, in the name of Jesus Christ, our living and risen Savior and Lord. Amen. The story is told about the young man who was working all of his teenage years and early young adulthood to become an American astronaut. And he had spent years studying, taking all the right physical courses, being in proper condition, all these things he had accomplished. And so he went before the board at NASA. He said, "Well, today they'll tell me that I'm going to be an astronaut." And he was very pleased with that. Until he got before the board, and they said, "You know, you passed all the exams, you're physically capable, it looks like your mentality is in the right place, you got the experience we need with flight. But there's one thing you're lacking. Your blood pressure is still too high. Come back in 3 months. So your doctor, do the necessary things to lower your blood pressure, and we'll sure you make it back then, but you still lack one thing." He was crushed. He thought he had done everything necessary to become an astronaut, but he still lacked one necessary prerequisite. Our gospel lesson is about that. A young man comes to Jesus certain that he had done things in his life to please our Savior. Certainly he had enough in terms of Christian requirements to be a believer. Certain that Christ would be pleased with his life. But Jesus said, "No, you still lack one thing." Let us look at this true story and see what Jesus was referring to in terms of what the man lacked. Let us view first of all the unconditional love. Our text is a conversation between our Savior and a rich young man who comes to Jesus, displaying his life before him, telling him everything that he had done. And he asked him about eternal life. He said, "Good master, what good thing should I do to inherit eternal life?" Look at what Jesus said in verse 21 in our text. We read that. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. You see that in the right following. How important that is for you and I to know that Jesus loves us. You and I may go out tomorrow or Tuesday or Thursday and be rebuked by someone or be embarrassed by someone, or something may happen and we get laughed at, humiliated, or we come up short in one area of life. And we come home embarrassed or upset, feeling inadequate. But remember the words of Jesus. Jesus loves you. He loves you and me with an everlasting love that can never change. Just like his merits on Calvary, which are there for all people of all generations, of all time, if they believe in Jesus, his love for you is unconditional. So please, if you experience depression on Tuesday, or rejection on Thursday, or humiliation on Saturday, remember, Jesus loves you. No one can change that. And that's something you can bank on. Go to your Savior and say, "Jesus, thank you for loving me. Because as you love the young man in our text, you love me too." An unconditional love. It's like the story of the teenage boy who had a young sister who she loved her brother so much. So she finally got him to read her a fairy tale every night before she went to bed. And she got so that she was close to her teenage brother. Well, he got to the age where he had friends, teenage friends, and he really enjoyed being with them, too, and he didn't want to spend that much time with his sister because for 2 years he had been reading to her a story every night. And at first he didn't mind, but he was getting kind of over and over again, but she loved it. So he decided he was going to record all these stories for her on a tape machine. And so he comes in with a tape machine one day, and he tells her, "Push this button." And she pushes the button and he starts speaking to the tape machine. And he says, "Now isn't that nice? You don't need me anymore. You know, I can be doing other things. Do you like this?" And she says, "No. No, the machine can't put its arm around me. And the point she was making was more than just so much the story, it was her brother being there, putting his arm around her, the personal touch. And that's what Jesus offers to us. Remember the man who was deaf in Christ's ministry? And what did Jesus do? He touched him with dirt and put his fingers in his ears. He touched him. And of course, the healing process of Christ was there because Jesus is God. But the point is, the personal touch of the teenager meant much to his sister. And you and I, knowing that Jesus loved us, meant much to us. Of course, we can say this young man had a lot of courage coming to Christ. Jesus was loved by all the people. But the Sadducees and Pharisees had their own agenda, which was not God-pleasing. So it took a lot of courage for him to come. And coming up to Christ with a question, he says, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so that's where the essence of our text is this morning. He comes to Christ and asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, there's one thing missing. You have one thing missing. Let us see what that missing ingredient was. Jesus was telling, your heart's treasure must be me. I must be on the throne of your heart. You have something missing that is not there. This was a shock, an absolute shock to this young man. He thought sure that Jesus would be pleased with what he had done. But no. In fact, when he says, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There's nothing you and I can do to inherit eternal life. It's been done for us. Christ dying at Calvary is our salvation. And so this man was utterly shocked when Jesus said, no, you're missing one thing. It's just like the story of the rich young son who loved his mother very much, and he was so wealthy, he was willing to do anything for her. Well, she happened to be a bird lover. And so he goes to find the most expensive bird he can find and buy it for her no matter what the cost. Because he knows that she would have this bird for many years to enjoy it. And so he buys a bird for $50,000. The bird could sing 3 operettas, had a vocabulary of 400 words, and could speak in 5 languages. And the son says, wow, this is great. I'm going to buy this bird for my mom, and she's going to enjoy it so much, and I'll send it to her as a surprise. So he purchases this expensive bird, $50,000, and sends it to his mom and waits. And so a couple of days after her birthday, he calls up his mom and said, Mom, did you get my gift? Oh, yes, son, I got it. And he said, well, how'd you like the bird? She said, oh, thank you so much, son. It was delicious. As shocked as this young man was that she had done that to the bird, this was nowhere near the shock of this young man standing before Christ. Sometimes in life we get so certain of things, and then suddenly something disrupts us. And so Jesus now is about to clue him in. So look at what Jesus said in our text, in our gospel lesson. Look what Jesus said. Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. We must not misunderstand the words of Jesus. Does this mean that all we have to do to get to heaven is sell everything we own, become destined? Not at all. Jesus is not saying the act of you getting rid of everything you own and becoming destined is the way to heaven. Not at all. But that single act on his part would prove what's on his heart, the treasure of his heart. Which brings us to the definition of faith, which we tried to get across in our children's sermon. Faith begins up here. The brain. Jesus once said, this is eternal life, that they might know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God the Father says that. So faith begins up here. We have to come to a knowledge of Jesus. But it must also be here in the heart. It's one thing to be confirmed by the church, but we also must be convicted by the Holy Spirit. To give you an example, every year in a church I had up in Lancaster, I'd always have sometimes a large confirmation class of 8, 10, 13 kids. I put them through a rigorous contraband exam every 2 years before I confirm them. Head knowledge. They all had the head knowledge up here. It was a very difficult exam, but it got them ready with Lutheran fundamentals and biblical principles. But sometimes, a few months after I confirmed them, I would never see certain individuals again. And I came to the conclusion that they had the head knowledge, but it was never transferred to the heart of faith. You and I must believe in Jesus not only here, but it must be here. It must be more than simply knowing what God's word is, but having it in our heart to touch and change our lives. And so I ask and challenge each of you, is your knowledge of God so complete, but has it transferred to your heart? Can we say the Holy Spirit has taken our head knowledge of faith and transferred? It's only a foot away. It's only about a foot away. But that foot is the most important foot in our lives. But the Holy Spirit must be able to take that head knowledge of Christ and move it down. I've known people who could memorize books of the Bible. They knew the Ten Commandments backward and forward, all three creeds. They didn't need any help from the hymnal. They could recite it right out of the hymnal. But that same person might have gone home and cheated on their income tax, or used foul language at work, or done other things that didn't indicate that Christ was truly in their heart. And so I ask, is our faith only in the head, or it also is in the heart? This young man wanted a comfortable Christianity. He wanted something to say, well, I follow all the rules. In fact, you see what he says. Oh, I haven't murdered. I haven't stolen. I've honored my mom and dad. And well, I've done all these things, he said. But Jesus said, that's not enough. You're not saved by the law. You're saved by the gospel. It's just like the story of the National Forest Rangers who in one portion of our country decided a few years back that they wanted to put a comment box at the trailhead of a certain trail and leave slips for people to write, what do you think about the trails? I mean, things you don't like about it? What do you like about it? Please put all your comments in. Well, what they got back was an earful. And I'd like to read to you what these people said about going out on the trail. And this were some of the comments. Number one, please avoid building trails that go uphill. Well, that's nice to say that, but it's not what happens with trails. Number two, there are too many bugs, spiders, and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to remove these pests. Number three, please pave all the trails. Chair lifts need to be put in some places. Number four, the coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate these annoying animals. These are true comments. Number five, a small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles last night. Is there a way I can get reimbursed? Number six, escalators would certainly help on a steep canyon. Number seven, I thought this was my favorite. A McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. And number eight, there are far too many rocks in the mountains. Please remove them. What is the point of this story? People want to change the hiking experience to what they think is comfortable and defining. They want to be able to say they went hiking in a situation that was very comfortable for them, but that you can't do that. You can't make these changes on mountain trails. Likewise, this young man wanted to define Christianity by what he thought was comfortable. Merely read the laws, claim he kept them, which he didn't because he was a sinner, I guess. He tried to make Christianity conform to his standards instead of Christ. And so also these hikers did the same thing. Dear Christian friends, we must come to Jesus completely empty of ourselves. I have to tell you a story about I preach a lot of churches, and one guy told me something that stuck in my mind. He says, Pastor, you know, when I go to church, I always ask the ushers the same question when I walk in, and they never have an answer for me. I said, what's the question? He said, I ask, where did the sinner sin? And they go, the point he was making was, sometimes it's hard for us to admit the answer to that question is us. We're all sinners. But he's getting across the point that wherever he sat, They're a sinful human being, that meaning himself, and that he needed Christ like everyone else. You can't experience the wilderness without discomfort, and we certainly can't experience Christianity without a certain spiritual discomfort as well. You know as well as I do that when we express our faith or practice our faith during the week, we are going to either bother some people or engender some response to someone that may not be what we want to hear. That's what Jesus told this young man, take up your cross and follow me. Wait a minute, Lord. Now all of a sudden you're getting negative on Christianity. But yet, that's part of the Christian lifestyle. The greatest and most important thing of our faith is following Jesus, coming to the cross every day. But know for certain that there are people out there who may not agree with you. But yet Jesus reminds us of what he said to the young man. Seeing him, he loved him. Never forget that Jesus loves you. Go to sleep every night saying, Jesus loves me. He loves me individually. He loves me as a person. And so let's see what happened with this young man. Yes, we thoroughly find the tragic result. Jesus went straight to the heart of the problem. He told him to give up that which is most important to him. Whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. So it wasn't so much denuding himself of all his wealth as it was admitting what is sitting on the throne of your heart. Jesus in the book of Revelation once said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door of our heart. Jesus wants in right here. Can we each honestly say, and Christ is in our heart this morning? There's a way to be sure. When we approach this sacramental table in about 10 minutes, we can say before we receive the precious body and blood of Jesus, come into my heart, Lord. Please strengthen my faith in my heart so I can leave God's house today going out into the world knowing that no matter who says what, you will love me. And I will receive your precious body and blood for my faith's strengthening and my sin's forgiveness. That's what Jesus was telling the young man, and that's what he says to each of us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The story is told about a traveling Russian who had never been to America before, and he was amazed at the number of market items in the average daily market that you go to and buy. And so one thing he came up with was the number of instant products in American groceries. He saw on my first shopping trip, I saw powdered milk. And I thought, how amazing, just add water and you get milk. Then I saw powdered orange juice, and the instructor said, just add water and you get orange juice. But the most amazing I saw, he says, when I saw baby powder. And I thought to myself, what an amazing company. Just add water and you get a baby. Well, of course, that's not what it means. It's not that easy to have a baby, as you well know. Neither is it that easy or simple to become a Christian. We cannot walk out of here saying, I've kept all the commandments, Lord. Surely that's good enough. But Jesus said, you must believe in me. It must come right from here in the heart. And that's what Christ shares with you and I today. He loves us no matter what we do. We can't change that. When we come in confession of our sins, as we're about to do in about 10 minutes, we know that Christ is there in his real and true real presence. Give us his strength, his peace, but most of all, his forgiveness and pardon of all our sins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, walk out of church today 3 feet off the ground. 3 feet off the ground, because your faith has been moved from here to here. And it's all the power and miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And then go out and live. Live confessing your faith to others, and sharing with people the knowledge that Jesus is the only way to heaven, but he loves you, has died and rose again for you, and wants nothing more to have you inherit eternal life with him. I'd like to leave this morning with a story about a young man who lived on a farm with his mom. His dad had previously died, but his mother kept sharing with him they were the only two ones left in the farmhouse, and they young man took care of the farm since they were so poor they couldn't afford to have anybody take care of it. Well, the mother had always told her son, listen, son, my dad told me, your grandfather, my father told me that somewhere on this property he has buried a hidden treasure and left a map behind. He didn't tell me where it was, but he told me there's a map, and if you find it, you can find this treasure. Well, the young man who was a teenager thought, boy, that's great, I'm going to look for it. Well, a couple years later, the mother dies, so he's the only person left running the farm. He never forgets what his mother had told him. In some place, his grandpa or her father had left a map behind pointing to hidden treasure. So he immediately starts looking for it. He spends all his days looking for it. Quits his job, stays home all day, digging all over the place, trying to find this map, looking in every crook and nanny, and every place he can find. Doesn't find it. In fact, he can become so obsessed with it, he becomes insane. He loses control of himself, and since there is no other relative around for his own protection, he's institutionalized. Well, the farm goes into ruin. Nobody there to take care of it. He's gone. And so the county, unfortunately, takes it over and sells it to a developer who said, I'm going to put in a shopping mall. So the developer comes in, knocks down all the buildings, gets preparation for the foundation for the shopping mall. And one of the workers who watched as his farmhouse came tumbling down saw a piece of paper float out of the wall in back of where the young man slept. It was a treasure. Treasure map. He had found the treasure map. The point of the story is that young man had slept in that bedroom within 2 or 3 feet of that treasure map for decades. So near and yet so far. Dear Christian friends, let us see our faith move the short distance from our head to our heart. Let us be inspired by the words of Jesus, who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let us remember on Tuesday afternoon or Thursday when we get down or depressed or anxious, Jesus loves you and me like he loved this young man. He offers to us his forgiveness at Calvary and the peace and joy that comes from his words, who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear Christian friends, see your faith move today in this sacrament into our heart. And then let's go out and tell others that Christ died for them and loved them today. May God grant that for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the